The world's largest meat processor says it is coming back online today after it was hit by a cyber attack over the weekend. JBS is based in Brazil, but the hack targeted the company's operations in Australia, Canada, and the United States. According to one estimate, going offline even for one day can cut U.S. beef processing by a quarter. The White House says this is a ransomware attack. Russians are suspected. And if that sounds familiar, it is. The ransomware attack on the Colonial Pipeline happened less than a month ago. Meg King is director of the Science and Technology Innovation Program at the Wilson Center. Meg, welcome.
Thank you.
And what do we know about what has happened so far at JBS?
So the timeline goes a little bit like this. On Sunday, in the middle of a holiday weekend in the U.S., which is typical for these groups, they know to target us when we're not looking or we'd like to not be looking. A major meat producer in the U.S. that was, as you mentioned, part of an international conglomerate, reported that and discovered that a cyber attack was being carried out on some of its servers. The Department of Homeland Security has said that it was alerted on Monday and started providing technical assistance. And the White House, as you mentioned, has also confirmed that this was a ransomware attack yesterday. So we know that there is a disruption and that the company has said that they have backup servers so that they have data they can hopefully recover. But the problem here is not that it's just decryption of data and resuming services. It's that there's a risk here that data might be either hijacked or made public if ransom demands aren't met.
So if you are a layperson just sort of casually paying attention to the news, this is starting to sound familiar. There's a trend here, right? I mean, have you been able to quantify or figure out just how common attacks like these are becoming?
Sadly, yes. And the food processing industry is a big and soft target. So there are new reports coming out that last year, somewhere in the range of 40 ransomware attacks were carried out against food processors. And so this is really a business. And until we break that business model, until we make it so that either companies are able to resume processes and have their data secure without having to pay the ransom, or we find other ways to provide support funds to victims who pay ransoms, or if we address the cryptocurrencies that are used to make the payments possible, unless we ask countries like Russia to crack down on those who are carrying out these attacks within their borders, then this is just going to go on.
We've covered attacks on hospitals that are overwhelmed with COVID patients. There's been attacks on schools, of course, an important fuel pipeline, now this food supplier. Are critical infrastructure like that more likely to be targeted than, say, just a random business down the street?
These criminal groups are clever. They know who has money, who is able to pay, who can't afford not to pay to resume services that people need, like food processing. I think that if they have a lot of money, a particular critical infrastructure provider like this food processor is makes billions of dollars, then they probably will continue to be attacked unless there are other measures that are put in place to prevent this.
The Biden administration waited a few days to respond to the Colonial Pipeline attack, but it seems to be kind of jumping right into the fray here with this one. What do you think the right way to respond is?
Well, they had to. The timing of a second attack, basically within the same month that Americans feel physically, both through fuel and food, had to have a U.S. response, a strong U.S. response. We have taken the lead in investigating this around the world. Australia has acknowledged that. And there is also a very important summit coming up between President Biden and Vladimir Putin, and I am quite sure that this will be part of the conversation.
But what can we really do aside from just sort of puff our chest up a little bit, you know? Because if companies are a victim of one of these attacks, like, they don't have a lot of choice, do they? They either pay the ransom or else suffer the consequences.
Well, I think you have to take a couple of steps back. There are preventative measures to take. We don't know exactly how the ransomware was able to penetrate the system originally at JBS, what kind of vulnerabilities weren't patched. We talk about security software patches, what parts of the network were not even identified. I mean, this is part of the problem with critical infrastructure providers is they don't even know, because of how these networks are built, what's on their system necessarily, or how far their system extends. In the meat processing field, apparently they use these supervisory control and data systems that help with processing. It's a similar kind of tool that's used in energy, as we saw in the Colonial Pipeline. So you need to have strong awareness of what's on your network and how to secure it from the first place. And the government is working on that with a number of providers. The problem is scale and getting to all those providers. The second thing you can do is there are a lot of private sector companies who have sought out cybersecurity insurance. And this is both a positive and a negative. In the positive, some companies have protection so that if they have to pay a ransom, they will be reimbursed. The problem is because ransoms are getting so expensive, some companies are now stepping back from providing cyber insurance. So AXA has just released a statement saying that they won't repay French companies for ransom. And so that's kind of a sad chain of events.
Meg King is director of the Science and Technology Innovation Program at the Wilson Center. Thank you.
Thank you.